All right, welcome back, guys. This is Believe in Rams. I'm Jake Ellenbogen. Joining me, of course, is my co-host Cameron Lynch, your former Rams linebacker. Today, we've got a packed show for you. We're going to talk about the Rams and 49ers game. And, of course, the Rams lost that game 30-23. But we're going to talk about why moving forward. We're not really worried about it. We're actually, if anything, feeling pretty good about it. Good about the effort they gave. And you know, obviously no moral victories in the NFL, but you can take some good things away from that. And then we're going to dive in to the Rams and Bengals game. So I can't wait. I think this game on Monday Night Football could be huge for both teams. I mean, you look at the Bengals, they're staring 0-3 right in the face. And you look at the Rams, they're staring 2-1 in the face. And that's really what you want to be staring in the face at this point in the season. But furthermore, they're staring 2-1 in the face with the Colts coming up next. A chance to go 3-1 in their first four games. When you think about that, man, it's like everyone was talking about Caleb Williams and the tanking, but if they start off 3-1, man, that's kind of mind blowing. To your point, based on just what we've heard. Now, neither of us, I want to preface, neither of us bought into the tanking talk. Like, if anything, we thought it was laughable. But it's fair to be like, okay, so you guys thought they were tanking at one point, and now here we are. We're talking about them potentially being 3-1 if they win these next two games, it's great.
Also, too, they get to bury the people that they played against in the championship that the Rams won. So just know the Bengals are going to be coming to this game with just a little bit more than the Rams expected. So I want the Rams to figure out, hey, you know, I know we've been on a roll a little bit here. We played the 49ers. That stung a bit, but we did well. Puka Nacua was going off. But just know that the Bengals are coming back for revenge, Jake. I know Joe Burrow's leg might be hurting. Whatever. It doesn't matter. The Bengals have this game circled on their calendar for sure.
No, absolutely. Before we dive into that, just a word from our sponsors, betonline.ag, which is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. Get the latest lines and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to sign up today. Get in on the action. Remember, use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. But Cam, I got to tell you right now, I've been loving this app, Underdog Fantasy. I've been going crazy on this thing. I mean, it is. I'm telling you, like every day, I'm like, man, I'm winning some money here. Where can our listeners, our viewers, go to sign up for Underdog Fantasy, and what promo code can they use?
Yeah, so you can start playing under fantasy football on Underdog Fantasy today. Users will receive a 100% deposit match up to $100 if they use our promo code OTE. At sign up. You can click the link in the description to get started today. And Jake, I need to get started today too, because I don't have some money in my account. You know, I just got married, so the Underdog Fantasy dollars might come into play here, you know, in a little bit, Jake. So I'm gonna have to jump in here pretty soon. I'm looking forward to you showing me the way, Sensei, when it comes to fantasy football.
Anytime, my guy. You know, the great thing about Underdog Fantasy is it's not just like fantasy football. So you can draft. So even if you already missed the draft and it's week three, so you probably missed out on drafting an actual team before the season, they do in week drafts. So like I drafted for the Monday Night Football doubleheader and I picked between four teams. I'm in a draft lobby with like six other people. And there's your team for those two games, and you monitor it. And I mean, I won some cheddar there with I picked Bryce Young at the end, and the guy ended up with 14 points. So I was feeling good. So yeah, you can get in on that. And then if you feel like, say, a Kyron Williams is going to score a touchdown, that's an option. You can win some money off that.
And
so
the Bengals allow pass catches for running backs. They're 100% allowing running backs to catch that football. Kyron Williams is going off, so put your money on Kyron.
Well, speaking of Underdog Fantasy and speaking of winning money, the 49ers and Rams helped me win some money this past week. Mainly Tutu Atwell, Puka Nacua, and Kyron Williams, but also Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Now, looking at this game, Cam, I got to say, I just watched the All-22, which is actually the luxury of recording a little bit later in the week than we normally record, because I did finish watching the All-22 before we started this. The Rams look good. They look really good. The offensive line really didn't give up much pressure until the floodgates just totally opened after Nopum got hurt in the third quarter. And of course, you know, when you're down and you're trailing, the small margin for error against a Super Bowl caliber team, now you can pin your ears back, send a Fred Warner, send a Dre Greenlaw, and have him go hunt. And that's really what happened. But, you know, Cam, I got to say, the thing, my big takeaway that I got to throw out there is that Christian McCaffrey only had like 3.7 yards per carry if you take away that giant run that he had. So the big explosive run, it matters, but Christian wasn't like ripping off 5-6 yard runs all game long. And I thought that was the interesting thing, because in the heat of the moment, you're watching this game on TV or you're at the stadium, you're thinking, man, Christian McCaffrey is just having his way with these guys. He really wasn't for the most part. Now, I can't take away, he had 3 catches for 19 yards and it ended up with over 100 yards on the ground on 20 carries. So that's a 5.8 Jeez. Yards per carry average. But yeah, that 51 yard rush that changed that. Right.
And I'll tell you, Jake, I'll tell you why he broke that run. I think you dropped it on your Twitter. Is Hoyt is the, he has the most drop back passes out of every defensive end in the league. And the 49ers saw that. And the Bengals probably are looking at it too. And so there was a sweet play with Debo came around on that edge. And there was, I think Hoyt was in pass coverage on that play or the play before, came back on the line of scrimmage and got lost inside Jake. And then there goes Christian McCaffrey off to the races. So the edges of this defense, I talked about it before, Jake, the edges of this Rams defense are going to have to be solid because Mixon, he's going to mix those edges for sure if the Rams allow him. So tightening up on those sides would be important.
Yeah, putting them in a blender, so to speak. Look, I got to say, still, and I don't know why I'm still seeing it, but like, you know, some of the fans were saying Raheem Morris is a fraud, he's a bust.
No.
I mean, they were still in this game.
Yeah.
And I'll go back right now. I don't really care because we're recording this. I don't really care. I'm going to go back here, play by play. So we go back to a drive here. The Rams, they throw an interception, right, which is unfortunate. The 49ers have 4 plays for 7 yards because, of course, you know, the Rams defense, and they force a field goal. Yeah, okay.
That's a win.
You know, like the punt that was forced before the interception. So the Rams had a 14-play drive that went about 4 minutes off the clock, makes it 27-20. And, you know, at this point in the game, you're talking early fourth quarter, and the 49ers only take a minute and 44 off the clock, and they get the at 3 and out at that point when people say the Rams still had a chance. And what I came away with in this game is that at the end of the day, the Rams, this wasn't a second half they fell off the wagon. This actually, ironically, they didn't score in the third, but I thought the third quarter, they were still very much moving the ball. You know, they weren't having trouble. I think when we got into the fourth quarter, when things went awry, even though they had scored 6 points in the fourth and 0 in the third. But I felt like the defense to come back from, first off, the interception when it's tied 17 all. Okay. Which that sucked because that was a drive there for the Rams. The Kyren Williams right off the shoulder pad, right off the hands, whatever, into a defender's arms. They were very close. They're at least going to get a field goal on that drive. They were very close to moving down. They couldn't be stopped at that point. Yeah. So that's a bummer there. That was a 4-minute drive that went for 7 plays, 41 yards. And so that's the thing that was, you know, frustrating for me, Cam. But then after that, all the momentum shifted to the 49ers, and the defense still holds them to 3 points. Yeah. So you talk about the 3 points. Then the Rams have a 3 and out after that because of just a really, like, again, penalties killed them in this game. Whether they were warranted penalties or not, they killed them. There were multiple drives in which they were driving down the field at will, and then they get one of those holding penalties or something, and it really threw them off. So
now the second half, before the second half, it was 1 minute left. I think it was not the Kobe Durant, but it was Darion Kendrick, Jake. Had a holding penalty, I believe, and then had a face mask back-to-back, and they scored on that drive right before the half. So the 49ers tied it up. It was like 12. I forget what the score was, but they tied it up right at half, Jake. And after that, like I said, the momentum just ended up picking up. And then you talk about the turnover. And we discussed this. For the Rams to win this game, they have to win the turnover margin. They have to, and they lost it. Therefore, they lost the game. So at the end of the day, like you said, the Rams played well besides the edges of the defense and besides those defensive ends dropping, right? Because Brock Purdy was picking them apart. Those hook drops right by the hash, he was throwing them right behind those defensive ends. But outside of that, excellent game by the Rams.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's funny that you mentioned that because I had my best friend over to watch the game, who I converted to a Rams fan, by the way, when we went to L.A. He's been watching the Rams since they were in St. Louis, and you know he's been going out with me to sports bars and watching them for years. But one thing he said after the game when you know the Rams had turned the ball over, he said, man, Cameron Lynch on the show, because he watches, shout out to him. And he's like, Cameron Lynch said, you know, they have to win the turnover battle. That is, at the end of the day, that's all. This is what it's going to come down to. So then what does Kyle Shanahan do? Ironically, he looks just like my best friend. Kyle Shanahan, at the end of the game, says, they turned the ball over and we didn't. We're moving on. We won. Like, it was all about the turnovers, because you could tell these two coaches were in their bags. Like, and I did say this on a few shows, Kyle Shanahan's got an ego. He's going up against Sean McVay. Sean McVay's got the ring. He does not.
Yeah.
His saving grace, the thing that he's holding on to, is I have this regular season dominated. Like, they've won eight straight or whatever. Like, that's how he was looking at that. Like, okay, I'm not going to let this happen. So it was funny because I had a 49er creator on one of my shows the other day. And I asked him, like, are we going to see Deebo Samuel in the backfield? He's like, I think they're done with that. I was like, I don't. And here's why. I think that is the Kyle Shanahan equalizer, because he knows, like, if I'm going against Sean McVay's Rams, I'm using Deebo Samuel.
The Ram killer. Yeah, Jake, you're right. And also, I want to say this. I think we talked about it when we previewed the game before on Off the Edge. When it comes to the Rams, and I kind of compare this to baseball. We talked about it before, but that first batter is able to expose the pitcher's weaknesses, right? And so I feel like that's what the Rams did. Puka Nacua went off, right? And I do think we talk about just the offensive coordinator for the Rams, talking about Sean McVay and his team and how they had more condensed formations there against the 49ers. And they were running those shallow crossing routes. I don't know if you've seen Colorado State versus Colorado, Jake, but
That game was gnarly.
Colorado State, all they were doing, Jake, was throwing those crossing routes to number five, that tight end, and they were killing and Deion Sanders said, he's like, y'all didn't stop nobody this game. So over time, I'm putting the offense out. And so I do feel that the Rams, I would say they had that same type of mindset, but whenever you're playing against that Goliath, right? And if you're David, run those shallow crossing routes, tire out those linebackers, right? Throw those quick screens to Tutu Atwell, to Puka Nacua, and get the ball going. Kyron Williams did well himself as well. But I do believe, Jake, if we think about baseball, right, that first batter is going to expose the weakness of the pitcher, and that hopefully that second batter, Jake, that hopefully that second or third batter can hit that home run or at least get a base hit. So I do think as the 49ers progress, teams are going to be looking at the Rams tape like, ooh, okay, I see what you do. Ooh, okay, you know, start taking notes. So I'm curious to see how the 49ers do moving forward after playing the Rams.
No, absolutely. It's exactly like we talked about in Off the Edge, which, by the way, guys, we do host another NFL show. So if you guys want to check that out at any point, it's everywhere, essentially. But my thing to your point is that, like, yeah, like this Raheem Morris put together kind of like a Vic Fangio style blueprint on how to stop Sean McVay and Jared Goff in 2017 or 2018, excuse me. I feel like they didn't really shut down the 49ers, but they slowed them down more than any other team has done since Brock Purdy has been there. And we can't really count the Eagles because, you know, Brock Purdy gets hurt early on in the game. But, I mean, a full Brock Purdy played game for the 49ers offense. This is the first time where, yeah, like 49er fans were like, wow, like I have not seen Brock Purdy look that bad.
Yeah. And Jake, also too, I want to also call this out, right? The Rams did give them some fits, Jake. The Rams were up before the half. So the Rams were in this game. Like you mentioned, it's just the back half. Once those adjustments were made, things kind of fell apart a bit. But Jake, I want to call this out. The 49ers fans in that Rams stadium, I just got to talk about it because looking at those videos, looking at the tape, it was all red. So just a call out to the Rams fans. Come on, we need to show up. We need to show up because that was unacceptable, one. But number two, Jake, I think a positive out of this, I think the Rams offensive line, Jake, we talked about this too. We were sick in the face last year about the Rams offensive line and how it was not where we wanted it to be. And now it is. Matthew Stafford is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now. I know for your list, we need our top 10 quarterbacks, and I think you move Matthew up. The way he is responding to his injury last year, all that smoke that people were giving him, he's showing up, man. And I'm praying, Jake. I know we were like, ooh, 2-0 or 1-1 so far, but you know, like I'm smelling playoffs, Jake. I'm feeling it in my soul. I'm feeling it, and I'm praying to God he stays healthy. I know Stetson Bennett, he's a baller. I get it, but to be honest, I don't want to see Stetson Bennett. I want to see Matthew Stafford out there getting to it.
Well, I mean, I don't know when we'll see Stetson Bennett because he's dealing with some things that Sean McVay didn't want to really repeat. So.
And Cam Akers too. It's like, it's a lot going on.
Yeah, I think with Akers, and he was traded, by the way, in case you guys didn't know that by now. I think with Akers, it was more of an attitude thing. I think he wants to be the bell cow. It doesn't work in today's NFL. It just doesn't.
No.
And we could say what we will about, like, okay, like, you know, I mean, I'm not a big fan of the running back by committee. I think it's hard to get into a rhythm and whatnot. Marshall Faulk said it on our show, like he doesn't want to split carries.
Yeah.
I don't blame him in that regard, but Cam is not Marshall Faulk. Cam is not Austin Eckler. Cam is not any of those top, you know, running backs. Like, Cam is somebody that has showed flashes of being that and has kind of fallen off. The thing with Stetson, though, I don't know if it's attitude. I think there's something personal going on. So just prayers out to him. Hope it's figured out. I like that Sean didn't elaborate on it, and just it builds that trust with a player and a coach. So
And it's a big deal, Jake. I don't know if it's mental health, whatever that is, but if anyone says, hey, I need to pause on this, I think you give it to him, Jake. I totally agree with you on that. And when we talk about Cam Akers, we talk about the trade for that, right? I think it was like 2026, right?
Pick swaps. Sixth and seventh.
And we always talk about that, Jake, how when it comes to the Rams, like the trade-offs aren't always the best. But you mentioned it, though, right? And it's like he might have that ego, that personality, and a lot of times the ego can be a poison in your garden, right? And so the Rams are like, hey, we don't want no poison around here. Just go ahead and, you know, best of luck to you, Cam, and keep it pushing. But I do hope that I think you posted on your Twitter, Malcolm Brown, come on.
I was kidding. Because the fan base gets so up in their feels about Malcolm Brown. Personally, I love Malk. The fact that he went from UDFA in 2015, same class you were in, and, you know, then he's playing. He scored, by the way, trivia question. If anybody ever asks you this and you need to win some money, I don't know if the trivia question's for money or whatever, first ever Ram to score at SoFi Stadium, score a touchdown, was Malcolm Brown.
And mind you, Malcolm Brown, he was the same year that I was, right? So 2015, it was me, Malcolm, Todd, and all those guys, Robert Havenstein. Yeah, Malcolm's a great guy, like you mentioned, and that running back room is going to need a little bit more, right? Cam Akers, last year, he was doing really well, Jake, right? The end of the year last year. End of the last year, yes, he was balling out. But Kyron Williams, Jake, is really cool to see him emerge, right? You don't see much ego with that. I'm not sure who he is as a person like that, but – we don't have time for negativity. So I'm glad the Rams were able to move on and make things happen there. So we'll see what happens to the running back room.
Kyron is he exemplifies what it means to be a football player that has a passion for playing football. Mm-hmm. When you hear him talk about just playing the running back spot, and he's like, I love all of it. I love the running. I love the catching. I love the blocking. I love hitting people. Like, he's obsessed, and that was the big thing. The Rams made an effort to trade up and get him and did succeed because he was in the fifth round. Like, I was told there were other teams that were about to draft him, and the Rams traded up, scooped him up, and they wanted him because of pass pro, but that doesn't mean he wasn't going to be an option in other areas of his game. And the thing is, it's just like, it's such a lost art. And we saw that with Cam Akers. Like,
yeah,
his pass protection in the Super Bowl, I understand he's coming off a torn Achilles and deserves a lot of credit for that. What he did getting back from that was superhuman. But he was not good, and that is putting it very lightly, in the Super Bowl pass protecting wise. Mm. And it's just a reminder that, you know, pass pro is everything if you want to be a three down running back. And that's the one thing that Cam Akers just never really got better at. But the I want to mention this because I threw this your way last night. And that's when you had the excellent, if the Rams stay healthy, I'm smelling playoffs, which I agree. It's all about health. So my guy JB Long tweets out, the Rams are the fourth team since at least 1950 to have 800 plus total yards and 50 plus points scored with zero turnovers forced on the defense through two games. Two of the previous three have won the Super Bowl per NFL research. I can believe that. That sounds like absolutely something that would be the case. and I'm not saying the Rams are going to win the Super Bowl, but I'm glad like stuff like this is happening early on in the season, showing that, hey, like they're better than advertised, because this is the NFL. It's unpredictable. We fall for the trap. People are like, oh my God, like my Super Bowl pick, the Bengals, I have them losing this week, which we'll get into, but that would make them 0-3, Cam. Like that's my Super Bowl pick. And so it's so quick to, you know, for people to be like, oh, I think this team's going to win this team. Hey, the Chiefs, they could be 2-0 right now. They barely lost to the Lions at home. They didn't have Travis Kelce. Who would have thought Travis Kelce was going to get hurt right before the game? This is the most unpredictable league. Derek Stingley's probably going on IR. He hurt himself in practice, Cam. Like, Houston's not even going to have their number one corner just out of the blue. Like, middle of the week. And that is the way the NFL works.
Yeah, it's a tough game, Jake, right? It's a tough game. And at the end of the day, you have to be available. The best way is to be available and stay healthy. And that's why you hear guys like LeBron, right, spending millions of dollars on their body. But I just want to talk about this game against the Bengals, Jake, right? The Rams lined up against them. We talked about Kyren Williams and his awesome ability. But Kyren leads running backs, right, when it comes to targets out of the backfield. I think he has 11 so far. And – you know, to be honest, when it comes to the Bengals defense, they're allowing 100% pass catching from the running back. So I think when it comes to the Rams, get the ball to Kyren, right? He's now the leading bell cow. So make sure that we give him his flowers when we can find that end zone. And then, of course, you got Puka Nacua. And Jake, one thing I want to say, Tutu Atwell, Puka Nacua, one thing I do want to say is last year, we do remember when Cooper Kupp was being targeted over and over and over again. Things were a little bit tougher because everyone knew, hey, cover Coop because he's going to get the ball. So I want to make sure and say this now that for Puka Nacua, let's make sure that, of course, we want to make sure he breaks all these records. That's fine and all, but we need him throughout the season and beyond, right? When they say to infinity and beyond, we need him healthy. And so making sure that Sean McVay knows, hey, of course, we got Tutu Atwell, we got Tyler Higbee, we got Kyren, we got other people to throw the football to, because I don't want to see Cooper Kupp 2.0 go down like Cooper Kupp did last year. So those are my thoughts.
No, I absolutely agree with you. Because I mean, you saw him, first off, he's nursing an oblique. So the Rams are like, all right, like he's going to be good to go, but they did not take any sort of step back with him. They threw him right into the fire. They're like, we need you, man. 20 targets, 15 receptions. That guy was on the injury report that week. So that's insane. Totally agree with you there. I think with the Bengals game, I want to see three things. Okay. The Bengals did not hit, they hit Lamar Jackson once. They did not sack Lamar Jackson. Okay. So one pressure last week. Now I understand Lamar's a different animal because of his mobility, but I don't want to see Stafford get sacked.
Right.
Period. That's the first thing. The second thing is Kyren Williams over 100 yards in this game. This is the game where last week he's feeling it out. This is like he played almost every single snap, Cam, and people are like, he's too small. No, played every single snap just about. He missed like three snaps, right? So I want to see Kyren now in his second start be a guy that can kind of take. I mean, here's the thing. I got the numbers right here for you, whether you believe it or not. Bengals gave up 206 yards on the ground and a touchdown in week one against the Browns. Now, understand our guy Nick Chubb is really good, and we wish him the best in his recovery.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. Then you have Deshaun Watson, who's going to run around and gain some yards. So the 206 yards, okay. 178 on the ground when Lamar Jackson's rushing for like 40. And J.K. Dobbins is out for the year, and you're rolling with, I mean, I love Gus Edwards, but you're rolling with Gus Edwards and you're rolling with Justice Hill. I'm looking at that matchup, and I'm like,
oh, we got Steve Avila. We got Steve.
I mean, I'm just saying, man. Kyren Williams, people are saying I need to see more than 50 yards a game, and I get that. It's not like he's had the opportunity to go over that.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, he's been splitting reps, so he has the time now. Give him his flowers. Show the hey, Kyren, show him what you can do, young man.
And they were absolutely going to give him more carries, Cam. The game got away from them because it became a game where we are dictating, and now all of a sudden, because of the turnovers, the bed that we made ourselves and we're laying in, we're essentially now down in this game. Time is the enemy here. We can't justify running the ball and taking extra time off the clock. You're losing.
Yeah, you're playing catch-up, yeah.
It sucks because, you know, some offensive coordinators would be like, we're just going to run the ball anyway. We have to continue to wear down this defense, and that works. But the Rams didn't have a lot of time to just do that. And especially when Noteboom went down, I think they were like, we're just trying to throw this ball. We're trying to figure out any way we can win this game. So 7 catches for 33 yards have been given up to the running backs by this defense. I expect Kyren Williams. I expect Kyren Williams to go over 100 in this game. The offensive line to protect Stafford to the point where he doesn't get sacked. And the number three thing, we kind of saw it in Seattle, 40-yard play. We did not see it against the 49ers. 2-2 Atwell, deep bomb over the top. I'm here for it, man. It needs to happen. Like, the Bengals are 0-2 right now. You're going to get their best that they can have. I mean, yeah. Joe Burrow, it's a Monday Night Football game. If it was Thursday night, I'd be more inclined to believe we'd see Jake Browning or whoever they want to put out there. But Joe Burrow, we're probably getting on Monday Night Football. The question is what Joe Burrow we're getting on Monday Night Football. And if we're getting the Joe Burrow, like Joe Scheisty, Joe Cool, then I hate to break it to you, but this is going to be a very, very tough game, and it's going to be hard to win. If you're not getting that Joe Burrow, the Rams have a pathway to blowing out this team. Yeah. But I do believe you're going to get their best. I do think we saw, you know, obviously what Kenny Walker did in the first game, you know, running off the edge there, like we talked about. And then Christian McCaffrey, albeit 3.6, 3.7 yards per carry, besides the 51-yard scamper, he still had a 51-yard scamper. Yeah. So now we're talking about Joe Mixon, and who knows? Maybe Joe Mixon can get going in this game. It'll be very interesting, Cam, because like you kind of mentioned earlier, I mean, the Bengals lost the Super Bowl to the Rams. That is still, they're going to be wearing the same. I don't think they'll be wearing the same uniforms, but they might actually. The Bengals, I mean, there's no love lost here. Like, they're staring right at the other team wearing the helmets. A lot of those guys still on the Bengals from that Super Bowl, and they're wearing the same helmets that beat them and cost them that Super Bowl. So,
yeah, that's true. You know? That's true. And Jake, I have my three things for you. Before I go into my three, Mike LaFleur, I'm going to say it again. When there's a good offensive coordinator, Jake, and a good defensive coordinator, two great chefs in the kitchen, you got to give them the flowers while we can. I know it's week two. Don't want to overreact, but these guys they're doing their job, Jake White. We talked about the Bears and how they're off excuse me, offense and defensive coordinators. Who knows what's going on over there, right? And so I just want to say I'm grateful for our coordinators and the job that they're doing. I think number one on offense, take care of the football. Jake, take care of the football. I think Michael Floor, Sean McVay saying, hey guys, like I know last week didn't go really too well. We had one turnover. Let's minimize those mistakes. Thankfully, the quarterback hasn't really been sacked like that, so let's keep that going as well. I think the second thing, Jake, on defense specifically, get after Joe Burrow's ass. Like, whoever is back there, bring that pressure. And I will say, if I'm the Bengals, I know Joe Burrow is limited. I know he's playing against Aaron Donald again. And so I'm going to say, hey, get the ball out of your hands, please. God, get the ball out of your hands, because we need you healthy for the rest of the season. So if I'm the Rams, pin them ears back and get to it. And I would think number three, Jake, Joe Burrow is going to be going after Darion Kendrick and Akello Witherspoon. I'm going to tell you that right now. He saw the tape, DJ Metcalf. Joe Burrow has some receivers, that Higgins and Chase, he has some, and Boyd, he has some boys he can throw to. And they're going to be going after Darion Kendrick specifically, Jake, because he had some issues. Remember, we talked about in the game versus the 49ers, he had those two penalties back-to-back. So I think they're going to attack him. So I think those are going to be the keys to the game, Jake, for the Rams to come end up with a W.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, and you're talking about Jamar Chase, the guy's had not even 40 yards in back-to-back games. I mean, that's not Jamar Chase. Yeah, he is. The Rams have to make sure that that doesn't end up being the case. So it should be interesting. I got the Rams winning 31-23. I think they're the better team. I can't believe I'm saying that, because I was really high on them coming in the season, but like, the Bengals, in my opinion, were the best team in the league. The offensive line is an issue, and the whole thing with Lyle Collins, and it's not good right now in Cincinnati. They can weather the storm. It's on their turf, literally, but this has gotta turn around for them, or this could get really ugly. And I know I've said it before, and you know, we said before, and you know, people are gonna, you know, oh yeah, well, they started out 0-2 the year they went to the Super Bowl. This is different. Joe Burrow's dealing with a calf. The calf could linger. He could re-injure himself and get a more serious injury in this game by even playing on it. So there is an outside chance we see Jake Browning, the former Washington quarterback, you know, of course, Washington College, you know, in there. But at the end of the day, the Rams have to win this game. They have to show and prove to everyone, like, they already proved, okay, they can hang with the big dog, right? Yeah. But now, Cam, the question is,
are they for real?
Seattle, mm-hmm. 49ers, good teams. They beat Seattle by 17. They lose to the 49ers by one possession. Those are two rivalries. So those rivalry games get a little different. Now go do it against a team that has a lot of talent, is struggling. So honestly, I think they're tougher than people would give them credit for. But I do like the Rams by 8 in this one.
Okay, I'm gonna go Bengals 17. I think they're gonna maybe get two touchdowns. Those guys gonna ball out. Maybe Jamar Chase, Higgins, 1-1 apiece. Get a field goal there, and then I think the Rams are gonna get 21 at this game. I think they're gonna protect the football, get 21 points on the board. So I'm gonna go 21-17, Los Ramos.
You had me in the first half, not gonna lie. He starts off. I'm gonna go with the Bengals 17. I was like, ooh. My guy has the Rams scoring less than 17 points. What's going on? It's like, oh, okay, you flipped them. yeah. I mean, either way, this game is huge for both sides. I mean, right now the Rams, they're going to have to keep pace. I think Seahawks win this week against Carolina, rookie quarterback and everything. So that would be 2-1, right? Yeah. So the Rams have to keep pace in the division. 49ers. What, we thinking they're going to win by 50 against the Giants this week without Saquon? I mean, it's not.
Yeah, it's going to be bad. It's not going to be pretty at all.
I do think on a short week, the Giants have more of a chance on a short week than they would with a full, like, full rested 49ers.
That's true. Because
they just played a physical game against the Rams. But either way, I don't see the Giants winning. So the Niners looking at 3-0. Cardinals. The Cardinals are facing Dallas, so they're looking at 0-3.
God.
So, yeah, poor Cardinals.
Even though they look good against the Giants the other week, they look good until the second half. But Dobbs is moving the ball. James Conner moving the ball. So they're looking okay. But the Cowboys, Michael Parsons, come on, man.
That team wrestled victory from the jaws of defeat from the jaws of victory. I mean, they essentially, it was like, they were up 28-7. I don't even know. But Seattle winning that game against the Lions, I mean, I had them losing that game. That was a big statement showing, like, all right, don't write us off just yet. I mean, it was only 1 week. But I think if we can take anything away, 49ers are one of the best teams in football. The Rams might be one of the best teams in football. And Seattle might be pretty decent, although I think the Rams, it spoke volume. It was less about how bad Seattle is and more about how good the Rams were and the statement they were making week one. But they have to move forward. They have to prove this against the Bengals, Monday night football. Yeah. They have some Monday Night Football great moments, and they have some terrible moments. One of those great moments, the Rams actually scored the most in Monday Night Football history, 54 points against the Kansas City Chiefs, which was really the Super Bowl that year, because that was like the best game of the year.
That was fire.
54-51. But yeah, Cam, do you got anything else? Or
man, vamos Rams, let's go. I mean, it's really exciting to see the Rams on the right track, Jake, because last year we were a little bit depressed. Like, oh, man, this year is excitement, is love, and praying for great health. He's got praying for these guys on both sides, to be honest, right? You don't want to see Joe Burrow go out with that calf. Like, it's just bad for the game. You've seen all these running backs go out, so we're praying for great health for both teams, but let the Rams win.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think any Rams fan, any self-respecting Rams fan would want to get Joe Burrow and the Bengals at their best, right? Yeah, if you think your team is really good, go out and prove it against the best. Don't wish that somebody is out on the injury report, because that's a sign. If you're sitting there like, man, I hope Joe Burrow doesn't play, you just admitted that you're actually not buying the Rams right now. You're not that high on them. And in reality, it's kind of fool's gold, essentially.
Yeah, it's going to hurt us in the long run, Jake, because we need to see eliteness early on, because when we get to those playoffs, the Rams defense can say, hey, or the offense can say, hey, like, remember that one time we played one of the best quarterbacks in our league, Joe Burrow, and he was fully healthy and he did this to us? Well, we're playing him again in the playoffs. So we're playing this person that's a little bit better than Joe Burrow, maybe, and they're going to do the same thing. So it's all learning experiences. And so iron sharpens iron. At the end of the day, these guys need to go out and compete and see what happens.
If we played Joe Burrow in the playoffs, that would mean Super Bowl. Are you calling a Super Bowl rematch, Cam?
No, not at all. Not at all. No Super Bowl rematch. I don't know. If the Bengals lose this one, Jake, I don't know how that's going to look for them. But what I will say is when it comes to the AFC, the teams that are looking really good are those Dolphins, my man. Like, they are looking spooky. But at the end of the day, the Rams got to get through the NFC. They got to get through the Cowboys. They got to get through some of the Eagles. It's only week three, so we got time.
Yeah, I mean, the Commanders, they're undefeated right now. They also have played the Cardinals and the Broncos, who are both that they have not seen a victory. So, I mean, hey, not all 2-0 teams are created equal. Not all 1-1 teams are created equal. And not all 0-2 teams are created equal. And on that note, that is Believe in Rams. So this has been episode 170. And if you enjoyed this at any point, be sure to like, subscribe, comment, rate, review wherever you are consuming this content. Word of mouth helps with just promoting the channel. So if you like this, go tell somebody that you like it. Go follow my guy at Cameron Lynch 50. Go follow me at JK Bogan on both Twitter and Instagram. We also have another show that you can check out if you want more of our content covering the NFL. We just recapped week two, and it was fun, man. Week two, Off the Edge, and you can follow at Off the Edge Show on Twitter. But I still call it Twitter. Am I supposed to call it X? I don't really care.
Twitter/X.
yeah, exactly. So that is going to be it. I appreciate you guys, as always, for watching us. And we'll catch you in the next one. See later, ya. Folks.